This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a podcast from Joy's jazz show, Bent Notes. Tune in live each Sunday night at joy.org.au.
My special guest on Bent Notes is Adrian Jackson, OAM. Adrian's been a jazz critic, a jazz columnist, a CD reviewer, the artistic director of the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues, the Stonington Jazz Festival, and the Melbourne International Jazz Festival, and in 2019 was awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia for service to the arts, specifically jazz. More recently, he's become the author of a book. It is my great pleasure to wish a very warm welcome back to Bent Notes, Adrian Jackson. Welcome, Adrian.
Thanks very much, David. Always a pleasure to join you on your show.
Adrian, artistically directing Stonington Jazz, Melbourne Jazz and the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues, what was the draw card for you that kept you enthusiastic and engaged in artistically directing these festivals, especially Wangaratta for 27 years? What was that special thing?
Oh, look, you know, from my point of view, it was pretty much a dream job in that I had a festival board that I was working for. Generally, they would give me a budget and then say, go to it, put your program together. So I was effectively my own boss to a large extent, as long as I stayed within the budget and put together a program that worked in terms of ticket sales and you know, the feedback from everyone that attended the festival. I was pretty much given carte blanche to do what I wanted and book the bands that I thought should be coming to Australia, or the local bands that I thought should be getting a bit more attention.
What a great way to do it as your own boss. Was there any aspect of directing those festivals that surprised you in terms of either the musicians' interest in participating or just the way that things came together?
To be honest, the biggest surprise with Wangaratta was that it worked. to be honest, you know, when I was first approached about it, I got a phone call from a bloke up in Wangaratta who said that they're planning to put on a jazz festival with an emphasis on modern jazz in Wangaratta. And my first thought was, you know, I assumed he was going to want me to write about it for The Age, but he actually said they wanted someone to coordinate it them, someone who had some links in the jazz world. As it happened, I was between jobs at the time, so I thought I'd give it a crack, but I really thought, you know, this would be a one-hit wonder. They'll pull a pretty small crowd and cop a lot of flack, lose a lot of money and lose interests. But the guy who was the chief executive of the city of Wangaratta at the time, Greg Maddock, he did a very good job of disguising some of the costs in various parts of the city budget and persuading the councillors, well, look, if you pull the pin on it now, yes, we've incurred a loss. If you stick with it for another two or three years, that loss will just be an investment. On that basis, he persuaded them to stick with it.
Have there been any really special moments from the festivals that really stand out in your memory?
Oh, look, I'd be lying if I said there hadn't been at least one special moment every year. So many of them, it's probably too numerous to mention. But
no doubt a few of them in the book.
Oh, yes. And indeed, there's quite a few good stories I would have liked to include in the book, but space precluded them. Yeah, I guess one very special memory was the evening before the Zevenal Syndicate performed at Wangaratta. They came into town on the Thursday night. Mark Elias and his band were in town. I invited the members of the two bands to join us for dinner. Oh, I guess there was a party of about eight or nine of us having dinner in the restaurant at the Gateway Motel there. And Joe Zevenal just held court, you know, talking about everything from growing up in Austria during the Second World War, you know, making the trip to New York, trying to establish himself in New York, and working with Maynard Ferguson, Dinah Washington, Miles, Campbell, all these, you know, great figures. Yeah, he was a fascinating man. You know, he had real charisma and no shortage of opinions. So that was a really memorable evening, just having a few pleasant meal and a few drinks with him and just letting him hold court.
Adrian, that is a beautiful segue. Let's have a listen to the Zwinul in Syndicate with Lost Tribes.
You are listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Find more podcasts and show blogs at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, where my guest is Adrian Jackson, author of the new book Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues 30 Years. Adrian, what a challenge to take on writing about 30 years of the festival. Where do you start?
Well, I did start with an introductory chapter that in the end got lost in the editing process. I probably went on a little bit too much in terms of what I wanted to include in the book. A number of the anecdotes had to face the job for the sake of meeting the printing requirements. That's part of the publishing process, I guess. As I was listening to the intro there, the show Bent Notes reminded me of a band that toured Australia and played at Wangaratta a few times, the Swedish Jazz Kings, and their trumpeter was Bent Persson.
Ah, right.
Who was always introduced to the audience as not just a Bent Persson, the Bent Persson.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I thought you might like that.
I like it. I love it, indeed. I might have to look up some of their music so that I can introduce them on Bent Notes, I reckon. Adrian, have you ever counted up how many individual performances you have programmed over the years at Wangaratta?
No, I haven't. I can't say I have.
It would be a big number.
It would. And with the format of the festival where it was a multi-venue program, the idea was to always have something going on at, you know, two or three or four venues at the same time, so that you didn't have the problem of everyone in town wanting to cram into the one venue at the one time. Inevitably, the program was packed with all these choices where you'd like to hear this band, but you don't want to miss that one. I guess it became a real challenge for the punters to make those choices.
It's always a challenge to make a choice at Wangaratta. There's so much good music going on. Does every band that performed get a mention in the book? So, for instance, if I think back to one of my early years there and I can remember a band that I enjoyed immensely, but I can't remember the name, can I look it up in the book?
Yes, we finished up doing a complete listing of bands that played at the festival each year, wherever possible, included the full personnel in each band. So that is there, whereas in the text where I've written up the highlights from each year, not possible to include mention of every band that played at the festival. You know, the ones that I thought were a notable addition to the roster or put in a particularly interesting performance, that sort of thing.
In addition to noting your thoughts and your memories and the list of all the bands, have you been able to incorporate commentary from some of the musicians who have performed in the festivals?
Yes, well, indeed. I should add that I didn't just write the book by myself. My co-author is my sister, Andra Jackson, who's a career journalist. Spent time with the Sun and the Age and the Sunday Age over the years. So she took on the job of interviewing some of the local townspeople, some of the regular attendees at the festival, and quite a few of the musicians. Their recollections or commentaries are interspersed here and there throughout the book. Some of the international guests like Vincent Herring and Gert Elling, through to some of the regulars like Jamie Olers, Barney McCall, Paul Grabowski, Joe Kendama, etc.
I imagine that they have some very interesting stories along the way.
They do.
Melbourne Books is your publisher, but the production of the actual physical books themselves is going crowdfunding through the Possible website. There are a number of rewards available, and I had a look through, and there's some great stuff there. Lessons, piano lessons, sax lessons, trumpet lessons. What a great way to go.
Yes. The idea was to ensure that, you know, this would be a viable concern by generating a number of pre-sales for the book. And, you know, people can go to that website and make a pledge to buy a copy of the book. Or they can make a higher contribution if they want to take advantage of some of those offers that have been made. You know, for instance, piano lessons with Andrea Keller or Barney McCall, saxophone lessons with Julian Wilson, singing lessons with Dunn West and Michelle Nicole.
Oh, wonderful.
Drumming lessons with Ronnie Farrell or Nico Schoenbach.
What a great opportunity.
Yeah, and you know, really humbling that so many musicians were willing to get on board and contribute their time and talent to see the project through to fruition.
And there's even a few Wangaratta Jazz CDs. There's one from the year 2000, a very rare double CD collection. There's some of those have been found just for this book release. What a wonderful way to remember the years of the Wangaratta Festival.
Absolutely.
Adrian, I'd like to say a very big thank you and to remind our listeners to support the production of the book by going to Possible, that's POZIBLE.com, and search for, literally, that book. Up will pop your face in a bit of a video. All the rewards there, of course, are listed to go through as well.
Yep, that would be much appreciated, and thank you for your support there, David.
A pleasure indeed, Adrian. Thank you so much for your time tonight. I do wish you every success with the book, the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues 30 Years. I'm looking forward to my copy arriving at some stage in the near future. Adrian, just before we go, I played the Zvenal Syndicate a moment ago. I thought we might go and do something a little bit more traditional, perhaps, by going back to Bob Barnard. What do you remember about Bob?
He was a regular at the festival for many years, because if you want to hear that style of jazz trumpet, you're not going to hear anyone play it better than Bob. You know, no matter who's on stage with him, you know, might be guests from overseas, Sweden or the UK, or even some of the younger generation modern players joining him on stage. Doesn't matter, Bob's just totally unflappable, just does what he does and sounds superb.
Adrian, let's have another chat once the book has been released and I can sit here and thumb through the pages. It would be great to do that.
Okay, look forward.
My guest has been Adrian Jackson, author of the new book, Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues, 30 Years. You're listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9, and now you're listening to Bob Barnard.
You've been listening to a podcast from Bent Notes. Join us live each Sunday night on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.